look, I've only gone and done another one of these bloody things. What am I like, eh? Tuh. First things first, sorry, it's been a while since I've done one of these. I've been in a coma induced by the Expendables. I've been waking up in cold sweats, but I'm slowly recovering. So thank you to everyone who's been downloading, over the past month. Yeah, cheers. And guess what? It's Harry Potter time! Yay! This week saw the release of Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows Part 1. The beginning of the end for the Harry Potter franchise. If you don't know what Harry Potter is, then... seriously, I mean, come on, put some effort into life. In basic terms, he is a magic nerd. It's a bit hard to review this one, because I grew up with the little fella. In fact, a few of my followers on Twitter requested that I sing a song I wrote when I was 12 years old. So this is for them. Skip forward a few seconds if you want to spare your eardrums. Harry Potter, Hermione, Ron Weasley, Dumbledore, Professor Snape, and Voldemort, and Harry Potter again. I mean, feel free to sing that yourself. Have to sort of prance around and sort of wave your arms. Oh God, what is my life? Anyway, as I touched on before, this is the first of a two-parter, and I think that's where the film falls down hardest. It just feels like half a film, a really long half of a film. I mean, there's this strong, tense atmosphere building throughout the whole movie, which is just left unresolved. It's like only having one nice sock, you know? You can appreciate it, but without its partner, it's nothing. In fact, Deathly Hallows Part 1 leaves me with a cold foot. Yeah. Now, a very interesting development in Potterland is the fact that this is the only one with a plot which is completely driven outside of Hogwarts. We no longer have these giant stone walls and sagely professors protecting the gang. And they're out in the wide world. You know, they're all growed up, fending for themselves. And there's this genuine sense of peril. And they're in a world that they don't fully understand. And that works really well. Really, really well. It's probably the scariest Potter film, in fact. There are some genuinely, some tense sequences which leave you on the edge of your seat. And if you're a fan of scrabbling around on your back with your mouth hanging open, it's probably a real treat for you, because there's a lot of it going on. And I will just take this moment to say, Voldemort, yeah, he's a real bastard, isn't he? And he's not nice at all. In fact, he's a terrible host as well, because he holds this little dinner party at the beginning of the film, and it's just awful. There's this really horrible atmosphere. It's the sort of party that you duck out early. It's, Voldemort, I just remembered I've got to go do something with my owl. It's been a pleasure, Volders. You know, all the best. I'll see ya. It is hard to deny that the young'un's performances are pretty wooden. Although their characters are so deeply developed by now, it's completely forgivable. The Weasley family on top form, as per usual. Radcliffe's jaw is a lot more relaxed than the previous films. So that's good to see. However, best performances in the film is usually Jason Isaacs and Tom Felton as Daddy and Draco Malfoy. And they are savagely underused. I'm only hoping they get a bigger role in the next instalment, because I was really looking forward to see little Draco's story developing, because he's become one of the most complex characters in the whole franchise. And he's tossed to one side like a Nimbus 2000. Harry Potter joke for you there? there are a few scenes I've heard a lot discussed about. In particular, the dancey scene and the nudie scene. The dancey scene, which I'm told isn't in the book, is just a simple little scene where Hermione's a bit bummed out listening to the radio and Harry gently takes her up to one side and they dance. It's a sort of friendly gesture to cheer her up. It's quite tender in a sort of very mature fashion. And in the cinema I saw it in, everyone cracked up laughing. And I think the reason that is because, you know, we've seen these characters grow up. They're like our mates. And when you see your friends being sort of sentimental, you often feel like laughing because it's just quite silly. So I think that's sweet. And it sort of shows that we've developed the links to these kids, you know, unlike any other film franchise, I think. It's sort of similar with Toy Story. You know, I'm in the generation where these films mean the most, I think. We develop these bonds with the characters, which do make them feel very real. You know, which I suspect is a fairly recent progression in cinema. It's difficult to say that about any other film. Nudie scene, unnecessary. Would have worked just as well with close up of their faces. Sort of things are more powerful when you're left to imagine it, really. It does sort of feel like an attention grabbing set piece thrown in for no reason. Before you get your hopes up, don't get to see any pink bits, I'm afraid. Funny anecdote time. A friend of mine, Catherine Rogers, the wonderful music critic, said to me the other night, she went to see the film the same night as me on the opening night, and she went with her little brother. And as soon as the naked bodies appeared, he leant over to her and went, "Oh, why have Harry and Hermione lost their clothes?" And I think that's a question I was asking myself, to be honest. Why did Harry and Hermione lose their clothes? Why? I should make some sort of noise now to indicate as a spoiler alert. There, that'll do. I wept like a child when Dobby died. I know he's a puppet or whatever, but it's just so heartbreaking. You know, his little wrinkled torso going all limp. It was like a little Keith Richards dying. It's horrible. There's a lot of... Oh, sorry. That's end of spoiler. Anyway, there's a lot of Nazi symbolism in the film. Like the Death Eaters, Voldemort's little club. They're very anti-Muggle. Muggle, non-magic people. Do I have to explain this? Anyway, they produce a lot of anti-Muggle propaganda, which sort of mimics a lot of the Nazis' propaganda. And especially in the font type as well, which, unless they use the same edition of Microsoft Word, it's a little hard to escape. Plus, there's a lot of stormtrooper-style uniforms, yada, yada, yada. I'm not saying it's particularly bad, it's just lazy. I mean, Star Wars did it first, and then there's been done billions of times since. You know, pull it together, lads! Oh, I better draw this mother to a close. Basically, overall verdict, it's a great film. Definitely one of the better Potter films. It's mature, but it still has that magic and wonder which makes the franchise what it is. Only problem, it's not finished yet. That's that, yeah. I'll promise I'll try and do another one of these next month. What's out next month? Tron! Oh, I'm looking forward to that. And Gulliver's Travels with Jack Black. I would see it, but it coincides with the date I've organised to have my legs sawn off. So that's a shame, isn't it? Anyway, bye. Follow me on Twitter. It's BuckleyJack. Twitter.com/BuckleyJack. Have a look at my website. Go on. There's filmsqueeze.wordpress.com. Bye.